And now it's time for My Job Rocks, our weekly segment where we talk to you about your unique or interesting job. And our next guest has nothing to whine about at his job, or perhaps he does. Mark Lazar is a private sommelier who helps clients manage their wine collections. His company is called Cellar Advisors and is based in St. Louis, Missouri. Mark, welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you so much for having me, sir.
Mark, first off, for the benefit of those who may not be familiar with the term, I remember it at least from my high school French. What is a sommelier?
In the technical sense, and as most people are familiar, a sommelier is usually a person in a restaurant setting who assists you with selection, serving, and conservation of wines. In my particular case, since I don't work in restaurants except for with rare occasions, I help private collectors who manage their own collections have the same sort of services and oversight as you would have if you were ordering wine off a restaurant list.
Mm. So let's dig in there a little bit more. Tell me about your job then. What do you do exactly?
Well, the unglamorous side of my job involves going through someone's cellar, be that a well-organized location or just a room full of boxes, doing physical inventory, appraisal, cataloging, and doing a computer database of every bottle of wine they own. It may or may not, depending on the organization when I receive the client, involve reorganizing the entire cellar, putting wines together by vintage or by varietal or region or what have you, and then also offering suggestions and tips and management ideas in terms of what to acquire for future collecting, what to get rid of, be it drink right away or sell at auction if you have too much of something that's coming up to its maturity and maybe over the hill if you hold on to it for so long. And also consult with the actual design and implementation of cellars.
And let me ask you, Mark, how big is the typical wine collection that you're handling?
The typical cellar is about 4,000 bottles. The range, however, is anywhere from 1,500 up to 20,000 is the largest I've done so far.
Mm. And how expensive a collection was that 20,000-bottle wine collection?
Millions. It's one of the world's best collections of rare Burgundy, actually.
And how did you actually manage to wangle your way into that one?
The business is almost exclusively word of mouth, and largely something I didn't account for when I began was that my work is really easy to advertise in the sense that people who have substantial wine cellars entertain a lot. They like to show off their cellars, and it tends to be a focal point of their home. So a lot of times I'll have a client, and they'll have a bunch of people over, and someone will say, oh my goodness, the last time I was here, your cellar was a disaster, and now it's gorgeous. Who did this for you? And that's how that referral occurred.
Mm. What's the strangest thing you've seen on your job, Mark?
Oh, the strangest thing. Well, actually, I found a substantial sum of cash in a wine cellar once that had been forgotten about by the owner.
Hmm.
It was way, way in the back, and I couldn't figure out why a bottle wouldn't sit properly in the rack that it was in. It was a deep rack. And so I pulled all the bottles out and reached my arm back there, and there was a huge envelope.
And did you ever get to count the bills?
I did not. I immediately called my client. And it was a little awkward for a minute, and ultimately he thanked me for reminding him, and, you know, we walked away and all was well.
Let's talk about the consumer experience. When I go into a wine store, I want a decent bottle of wine. That happens from time to time. Let's say somewhere in the $10 to $15 range. What do you suggest I look for, Mark?
Right now, the best value regions in the world are Spain and Australia. Now, a lot of consumers are familiar with products such as Yellowtail, which is an enormous Australian wine brand. They're just absolutely taken over the low end of the market. But there are countless wineries of similar quality, even better quality in a lot of cases, that are just not well known yet. And so their wines are inexpensive. And Spain has had a renaissance in about the last 5 years where there's very high quality winemaking going on. But again, a lot of wineries that aren't well known, regions that aren't familiar to consumers yet, and perhaps maybe not as accessible as Australian wine, because they don't tell you the name of the grape on the bottle every time. But if you go to a reputable wine shop and the store knows your taste or you can articulate other wines that you've liked, you can almost always find something in that price range that's really, really a good value. And by that I mean not only is it inexpensive, but it provides a really high-quality drinking experience and it's enjoyable as compared to, you know, if you were just to grab any old $15 bottle of wine. It's really a step above.
Mm. Getting back to home once again, how do I want to store my wine?
Most important conditions for wine storage are consistent temperature. If you don't have a facility where you can have a temperature-controlled cellar, a cold, consistently cool part of your basement is the best spot. Dampness is good for wine. It helps keep the corks moist, and thus air does not leak in as the cork shrinks from lack of moisture. Avoidance of vibration. Do not store wine in or on top of a refrigerator where the compressor is always turning on and vibrating.
Mm-hmm.
And the kitchen is probably the worst room in the house to store wine. You have a fluctuation of temperature. It's a room that's used very often, so the lights are off and on. And, again, you have vibration from the refrigerator and things like that. So an undisturbed area is best. Ideally, if you can afford the space, a proper temperature and humidity-controlled wine cellar where you keep your wines at about 55 degrees and about 70% humidity is absolutely ideal for long-term aging.
Hmm. How about a trick of the trade on opening wine?
Well, one trick that a lot of people don't know about is that you can usually pull the foil capsule right off the bottle. I've often gone to a restaurant and watched a waiter struggle to cut the foil, which is a very nice touch,
mm-hmm.
But it certainly takes time, and at home I seldom do so. I usually just twist it right off. And another trick is a product called the screw pull, which is basically an all-in-one, you twist it on, twist it off corkscrew apparatus. It works great. It works on stubborn corks. You're much less likely to break a cork or have one shred in the neck of the bottle. And when you open as many bottles of wine as I do, speed is important.
I have one of those, and I love that little machine. By the way, is the real cork going to become a thing of the past?
I'm the wrong person to ask. There are a lot of regions that are getting rid of the real cork. New Zealand, Sauvignon Blanc, for an example, almost industry-wide, they're using synthetic cork now. And there are just as many regions that are resisting.
Hmm. Do you think consumers care?
On the everyday, quick consumption, have with dinner tonight wines, absolutely not. Amongst very careful collectors who, are quite particular, the cork is thought to be an important element in the careful and slow aging of wines.
Mm. Mark, I want to spot you up with a few different foods and maybe get a wine suggestion from you for each. You ready?
Okay,
let's kick it off with, the classic beef tenderloin.
Beef tenderloin, I think a great pairing for beef tenderloin is the red wines of the region from France called Burgundy.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all made from the Pinot Noir grape. Some of the most fantastic wines I've ever had have been made from Pinot Noir and have been from Burgundy.
Next one, oysters on the half shell. What's my wine tonight?
Oh, champagne. A lot of people only drink champagne for a celebration or as an aperitif. I think champagne should be served anytime you would serve any white wine, and oftentimes in place of reds even. Oysters and champagne are a classic pairing.
Mm. And finally, of course, the classic snack food, Funyuns.
Funyuns. I'm going to have to say Australian Shiraz, just for the sheer enjoyment and fruitiness and hedonistic pleasure of Funyuns and Shiraz. It sounds perfect. I'm sure I'm going to get a letter from the Shiraz industry for that one.
Mark Lazar is a professional sommelier. He runs the company Cellar Advisors. You can learn more about him at celleradvisors.com. Mark Lazar, thanks for joining us on My Job Rocks.
Thank you so much for having me.
Do you have a unique job, or perhaps you have an interesting approach to a not-so-unusual job? Either way, we want to hear from you. To be featured on My Job Rocks on the Motley Fool Radio Show, give us a call at 866-NPR-FOOL. That's 866-NPR-FOOL.